I want to welcome you to this service as we gather to remember and to celebrate the life of Travis Hetrick. As we begin our worship, let us hear these words of hope from Jesus of Nazareth as he speaks in the Gospel of John. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. And one other passage, this one from the book of Romans, as the Apostle Paul speaks in chapter 8. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things yet to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Will you join me in prayer? Merciful God, our Father, thou who art strength to the weak, refreshment to the weary, comfort to those who grieve, help to the tempted, and life to the dying, make us sensitive to the presence of your comfort and peace through your Holy Spirit this afternoon, in accordance with Jesus' promise that we will never be left alone. Help us to be grateful for your eternal love that receives us back into your everlasting care and keeping, where we know your love and peace. Amidst all of the changes in our daily lives, make us strong and calm, and persuade our hearts to trust you when you say that neither life nor death, nor things present nor things to come, shall ever separate us from your love revealed to us through your only begotten Son, Jesus, our risen Lord. Amen. We will now have a musical selection.
Make up a wind stand. The first reading today will come from the Old Testament, Psalms, the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff will comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We move to the New Testament, John, chapter 14, verses 1 through 3. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. We move over to verse 18. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me because I live. You also will live. Romans 5. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into the grace in which we now stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our suffering, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, character, hope, and hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us.
We are now privileged to have Shaylin, Travis's daughter, bring the eulogy.
Hi, everyone. Thank you so much for coming today, and I can assure everybody that it would mean the world to my dad. So let me tell you about him. And man, was he the best. He did everything he ever could to make sure that everything would be okay, and he'd always take me back and forth from soccer practice, and he even coached my team at one point. And he always picked me up when I crashed and brush off the dust and say, next time don't turn so much and you won't roll the four-wheeler. And I only did it like three more times before I learned my lesson. But that's besides the matter. Today is a day not to live in sorrow, but today is a day to be proud that Travis lived his life and remember what a truly wonderful man he really was. And I can remember so vividly when I was younger, and it's kind of funny that I'm the one up here talking about youth. But here it goes. I can remember many stories about my father, so I'm gonna start a little bit closer to the beginning. We used to go bowling every Saturday with my best friend Casey, who my dad saw as another daughter. He even took me all the way up to Orfino just to see her, and mind you, that was a 14-hour drive that he drove without stopping. But that was not the end of his selflessness. After 6 years of not being able to see her, I worked tirelessly to like come up with the money to go. But when my birthday came around, we were pretty tight on money, so I wasn't shocked when I only received a card. But when I opened it, there was the money that I needed to go see her. And that was the single greatest gift that I'd ever received. He'd always done these selfless acts, and even if it meant that he would have to go without. Even on lazy weekends, he would do my gigantic 1,000-piece puzzles with me, and he never really had much fun working on them, but he'd do it just to spend time with me and because he knew it would put a smile on my face. Another interesting story is the time I first started driving, and you guys are all probably thinking it's when I turned 15 and got my permit, but it was actually 6 years before, and he sat He had this just fabulous idea to sit a 9-year-old in the front seat of Big Red, and he's like, all you got to do is just back the boat into the lake, and it'll be all right. And I couldn't even reach the puddles at that point. I even remember the day that we got the 55, and we'd hang out for hours in the garage building it, and that was just so exciting. But let me tell you, that was nowhere as exciting as the day he first let me drive it. And we all can imagine how much persuasion that took. And he would always find a way to make sure that I had the best life possible. And for that, I cannot be more thankful. And he raised me to believe that if I wanted something bad enough, I would always succeed. And I truly realized this not but 2 weeks ago, when he was barely conscious and he looked over at me and said, it'll be okay, Hot Rod. We always figure it out. And he looked at me with nothing but certainty in his eyes. And it makes me nothing but overjoyed to know that I had this notorious fighter characteristic passed on to me, and I can only hope to live up to the standard that he left for me. And even today, I still think of how he used to tell me if it weren't for bad luck, he'd have none at all, or only the good die young, and that's why he's still here. But I'd like to say that that was not true, because he didn't deserve to go so soon, nor did he only have bad luck. Because if doctors can only give him 2 weeks, just days to live after his kidneys had shut down, and he lived over a week longer, and he was barely even coherent enough to talk to me, but he used all of his strength just to say, I love you, over and over again. And that, hands down, makes him the most wonderful man. And the fact that we were blessed to have an extra 5 years with him makes me nothing but lucky. So I will not ask everyone to take a moment of silence for him, but instead I ask everyone to give a round of applause for this truly noble man.
What a nice idea. Well, now I'm going to ask a Tom Dower to bring the microphone down the aisle, and if there are others of you who would like to share a memory, somewhat briefly, but share a memory with the congregation, Tom will have the mic for you, and be pleased to hear what you have to say. Now, if they're over 30 or 40, we may have to do some of it downstairs at the reception, but I'd love to hear from some of you. Lift your hand if you'd like to say a word.
Shaylin said it all. He was just marvelous. And I learned a depth of strength and courage from my young man. And I will miss him dearly. I just thank you for your presence here.
Someone else, a memory that you treasure?
We were really privileged in that we knew Travis when he was a little boy, and because we lived near the hospital, we were where Travis and Nina came every time that Travis was in the hospital. And so we got to see and witness Travis dealing with what was the most challenging aspect of his life with such dignity and stick-to-itiveness and engagement in life. When other people would have given up, he just hung on, and he squeezed every moment, every breath of life. He never stopped caring, never stopped making plans. He never stopped talking about you. It was a privilege.
Thank you. Someone else.
His body's gone, but his spirit will last forever and ever. If you have a memory or a story to tell, now would be a good time to share that.
Hello, my name is Blaine Heatrick. I was Travis' older brother, and thank you all for coming today. And as many of you know, my brother put everybody else's needs above his own. And I think that's what made him a great man. And he had, and I think that's why there's so many people here today. He just never let anyone go without, or if they needed help working on their car or moving or anything like that. And it's just, it's a rare quality in today's world. And I'm glad that to call him my brother, and thank you very much for coming.
When we had our second child, our daughter, Chris had gone to home to eat, and Travis came and just sat with me in the hospital and just talked to me while I was there. And just, he was such a good man.
Anyone else? Okay, Tom, why don't we ask, when you come downstairs to the reception, I'm sure you'll want to share other stories and memories. Thank you for those of you who shared just now. And Shaylin, thank you for your words. Is there another one there? Tom? One more over here. Oh, a couple more. Okay, go ahead.
I'm John Fanto with True Oil, and I had the pleasure of working with Travis over the years. I got to see him every morning when I came and parked my vehicle there for work, and he was already out working. He was always pleasant and said hello and got to be friends with him. And I brought my Labrador to work quite often, and she was getting up there in years, and Travis always took good care of her and made sure she was comfortable and happy there while she was waiting for me to get off work. But just to make a long story short, he found out that he was a very giving person, and he found out that that I was training my younger puppy, and I needed a pigeon, and pigeons are a problem at the office, or can be, and Travis helped me out a little bit with that. I didn't think anything of it, but sure enough, about a week later, Travis had trapped a pigeon for me and gave it to me, and so I had this pigeon for a very long time. I used it to train my pup. My pup never heard it, which is surprising. And finally, after about a year, I decided to let this pigeon go. He'd been through enough. And I don't think Travis knows this whole story, the rest of the story. I did tell him that I still had it several months later. So it'd been in a cage all this time, and I opened up the door to the cage one day, and figured that it was time to let it go because I had clipped its wings, and it took a long time for its wings to grow back. And but this has a good ending, and that's why I'm telling this story. So I figured this pigeon deserved to live, and this reminds me of this story. But so I opened up the cage to the pigeon cage that he is in, and bird just stayed in there. You know, he'd been fed for a year, and he's pretty happy where he was, and he wouldn't leave. So finally, I picked him up out of the cage and threw him up in the air, and he made a big circle and flew right back in the cage. And so I read a little bit about these homing pigeons, and Travis had told me a little bit about them, but you have to go quite a ways to get away from where they're living or homing, because they'll come right back. So finally, he started, well, then he got a girlfriend, and so more pigeons were starting to show up and get fed, and Travis will like this story. So finally, I decided, well, I'm going to have to take this bird far away and let it go. So I took it to Denver, and there's lots of pigeons down there, and I took his girlfriend, too, because I couldn't get rid of her. So I took both of them to Denver and released them, and they're going to live happily ever after. So I hope Travis can appreciate that.
That's good. Thank you. Was there one more over here? Right here, Tom. To your right.
My name's Paul Marvel. We went to school with the Heatrick boys, different ages, but I got to know Travis real well when I started dating my wife, and because they grew up together and they were... She considered him her little brother. And I was informed if I was going to date her that he was part of the deal. And I remember picking him up from junior high, because we were in high school at the time, just picking him up every day from junior high. Just one funny thing that I remember about Travis was, I don't know how old they were when they had the argument, but she was over at his house apparently, and he was mad at her, and he said, "Get out of my yard, novella."
We will. Thank you, Tom, and thank each of you who spoke. We look forward to hearing more stories downstairs. We now have time, we now have time for another musical piece, please.
Thine own way, Lord, have thine
how fortunate Travis was to have wonderful parents, wonderful daughter, what great friends he and his family have enjoyed. Thank you all for being here. Clearly, Travis was greatly liked and loved by many people. And I loved the way one of you shared that he had a way of treating and greeting others. Several of you shared that. In a loving way, always being available to help anyone in need. Plus, he loved the outdoor Wyoming, which many of us do. Whether he was snowmobiling or motorcycling or on jet ski, or having a great time at the family cabin up in Ryan Park in the beautiful Snowies. It's hard to beat that place. It's just gorgeous. And he always had a special place in his heart for his dear daughter, Shaylin. Early in his career, he was working in engineering at Wyoming Medical Center, most recently with True Drilling. Travis loved life and embraced life fully. Nina was sharing with me that Travis accepted Christ as his Savior as an older child and was baptized by Reverend Susie Ford. Some of you knew Susie, at First Baptist here in Casper. When he began to participate in a youth group at the church, his youth group leader was Kent Nybert. Some of you know Kent. Kent was a man of great faith and enjoyed having a good time with young people. And Travis became good friends with him. As most of you know, Travis has been struggling with his health for some time, undergoing a liver transplant in 2012 and making frequent trips to Denver for checkups. More recently, this past January, he learned that he had cancer and was told he would have between 4 and 6 months to live. He then has spent lots of time at the University of Colorado Hospital, where coincidentally, Kent Nybert has been a patient at the same time. And they've been able to see each other there. As a matter of fact, Nina shared with me that Kent has met with Travis and prayed for him on one or more occasions. Also, at his passing, Kent sent to Travis's family several scriptures that might bring them comfort. And we have shared those scriptures with you this afternoon. They have been the ones that have been read. These scriptures have brought great hope and peace to Travis's family, as they do to us in our hearing. Clearly, Travis had a good life, and again embraced it fully, and for you as his family, and for all of us here today, today is a day not only to mourn his loss and passing, but even more to celebrate his life. This is a day when our hearts are in need of and open to a special ministry our Lord Jesus provides to us, the ministry of comfort. Comfort, a word that appears in the Bible 100 times. Our God is a God who provides comfort to us, especially in times such as this. But how does he do it? Well, let's look at some of the ways. First, when we mourn the loss of one we so love and whose relationship we treasure, God gives us the comfort of family and friends. How fortunate you are to have a loving family. And you see, as you know, you are bringing comfort to one another as you come together to remember Travis. The stories you tell, the memories you share, the laughter and even the tears remind you of how important your family is and how important Travis was to you. And your friends are important too. They can make a world of difference when they send a card with a note or even an email or text. When we lose someone near and dear to us, we're left with a vacant spot in our hearts and a deep sense of loneliness. And more than ever, we need the prayers, we need the phone calls. The ministry of presence of our dear friends and family to remind us that despite our loss, we are not alone. for it is often through friends and family that God speaks clearly to us and comforts us. Another important way that God comforts us is through Christ's words in the scripture. Do you remember when Jesus told his disciples that he was going away for good, that he would be laying down his life for them? Like a little child, Peter didn't like what Jesus had said at all, and almost threw a fit, because he wanted to go with, he wanted to be with Jesus. But Jesus said, "No, I am going alone. You can follow me later." And the disciples were grumpy, muttering to themselves about how unfair Jesus was being. And Jesus, like a gentle shepherd, like the big picture in the window up there, the shepherd of Jesus, quieted them down and said to them peacefully, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me." In other words, trust me. "In my Father's house are many rooms. When I go, I will be preparing a place for you. After that, I will return and will take you so that where I am, you may be also." Still, Thomas, remember the guy that was called the doubter? Thomas, like a little child in the dark, said, "Well, how will we know the way to get there?" And Jesus once again said in a calming manner, "Thomas, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I will show you the way. No one comes to the Father God but by me." You see, the scriptures clearly say that we need to listen to Christ and trust in him and follow after him. In that way, we are led into the presence of God, who comforts us in our anxiety, our sadness, our separation from those we love. And thirdly, it is God himself who comforts us when he tells us through Christ that heaven awaits those who trust in him and who accept his son Jesus as Lord and Savior of their lives. Yes, this God who created the universe and all of its wonderful complexities. I always think about Wyoming when I think about that idea. This God who envisioned and brought into being our world and our beautiful Wyoming and the Snowy Range and the Tetons and the Bighorns and even Old Faithful, this God also is a very personal God who loves and cares for each and every one of us. He calls us his children, and he yearns to communicate with us as we do with him. Remember, it was Jesus himself who slipped off quietly to the Garden of Gethsemane before he was taken captive by the soldiers to be crucified. And it was in that garden that Jesus spent time praying and talking with his Father God and actively listening as well. I find myself too many times talking and not listening well. Jesus was listening. And it was there that he came to a sense of peace with his Father and prepared to move forward to his death. Our God of comfort also desires to bring a sense of peace to each of us now. Travis has gone on. He has entered the heavenly gates, and now God also asks us to trust him as we move forward confidently into the future that lies before us. A future of loving our families, being a good friend to others, making a positive difference in the world. After all, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, his only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but shall have eternal life. And this is the good news indeed. Let us pray together. Most gracious God, as we come to the close of this service, we give you thanks for the gift of life. And especially now, we are thankful for the gift of Travis's life. Thank you for the blessing he was. And we are so grateful that you have now welcomed him into heaven. We pray for ourselves as well, God, that we might be drawn closer to you each and every day, and that we might love and serve others in whatever ways you would call us to do. We pray these things and so many more in the name of Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Before we receive the benediction, let me share two things. One, following our service, the family will be in the rear of the sanctuary greeting you as you exit the sanctuary. If you prefer to and you want to go straight to the reception, you can either go down this door and downstairs or go out to that door as well. And I'm sure you'll have a chance to visit with them there as well. But we would love for you to stay for the reception. Would you join me now as we have the benediction? Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit be with you this day and always. We pray in his name. Amen.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him.
King of kings.
Oh, hallelujah.
praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him. Thank you.
Wyoming, and it's blowing outside, singing its wild songs to me. Wyoming winter is long. But it's speaking to me with a larger voice, and I hear that voice in my heart. It's telling me of a deeper truth, a truth that will not part. And your wind speaks your name.
Let your spirit's wind blow through my soul.